Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. Good morning, everyone. And we'll begin today by doing our best to explain the coronavirus situation locally for our area in terms of public health and what you should do as an individual. And then we'll explain the economic risks and impacts with the coronavirus-driven stock market plunge and its implications for our regular lives beyond Wall Street. Our first guest is the New York City Health Commissioner, Dr. Oxyris Barbeau. We always appreciate when you come on important public health issues. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
And listeners, we can take your coronavirus prevention and preparedness questions for Dr. Barbeau at 212-433-WNYC. Our phones are open at 212-433-9692. I know a lot of people are confused. Maybe we can clear some things up. Do we still have zero confirmed cases of coronavirus in New York City and New York State, as far as you know?
Well, I can only speak for New York City. Okay. And so we have zero cases of coronavirus. And as of right now, we have no individuals that are even being considered as potential folks who may have coronavirus. And, you know, it's important to start off with that context because we're hearing a lot of scary sounding things in the news. But I want to just remind New Yorkers that as of right now, our risk remains low.
There are some people on Long Island and in Westchester who are being evaluated, but still zero confirmed cases in our area, and I believe zero being even evaluated in New Jersey. So people might be confused hearing that there are zero known cases of coronavirus in our area, but the mayor and the governor, not to mention the president, all held news conferences yesterday as if something big just happened. So why all this presence right now by political leaders?
What's happening is this is a new virus that's been introduced, and every day we are learning new things about the virus. And even though we don't have any cases here in New York City, the person-to-person transmission that we're seeing in communities outside of China do give us concern that, A, it's inevitable, as we've been saying from the beginning, it's inevitable that we're going to have someone who's going to have coronavirus here in New York City. They probably will have gotten it from outside of the city. And then once that happens, it will also be likely that there will be transmission from person to person in the city. And so that's why all of these measures that we've been taking in terms of being extremely diligent about identifying people potentially at risk are all aimed at trying to keep the virus out of New York City.
So what are you asking people to do?
Well, first of all, I want to remind New Yorkers that even though our efforts at trying to keep the virus out of the city are really Herculean and unprecedented, viruses don't respect borders. And so the measures that we have been asking New Yorkers to take, washing their hands frequently, covering their mouths and their noses when they cough or sneeze with their elbow and not their hands, are the same kind of precautions that are going to protect us as a city, whether we have zero or whether we have one or more than one.
I saw people on television last night saying, don't shake hands. Do you go that far?
You know, at this point in time, if New Yorkers are diligently practicing hand washing, then of course we want people to shake hands. But if folks have any doubt about their hand washing hygiene, then, you know, this might be a good time to start thinking about fist bumps or elbow handshakes instead of the traditional handshake.
Let's take a phone call. Alam in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with New York City Health Commissioner Dr. Barbeau. Hello, Alam.
Hi, how are you?
Good. What's your question?
My question is, I drive for Uber, and I'm picking up almost like 30 to 40 people every single day. And I don't mean to be discrimination, but mostly I pick up like Chinese, American, Asian people. And I go to airport many times. So like, what I'm supposed to do, and I'm supposed to pick up every single person. Like, I don't. So is there any extra caution I can follow?
Alam, I'm so glad you called in, because I know we have so many Uber drivers and yellow cab drivers and all kinds of professional drivers who pick up passengers listening. And we always try to serve you, and we love you, drivers. So how about the driver population coming into contact with all kinds of people from all over the world all the time?
Yeah, I'm so glad that this caller asked this question, because it gives me an opportunity to talk about a number of different things. One is, right now, there is very little indication that in countries where we don't have high levels of person-to-person transmission, that it's easily transmitted in casual settings, such as would happen in an Uber car or such as would happen in a subway. So it gives me first point to emphasize, we want New Yorkers to go about their daily lives and to practice the everyday precautions of frequent hand washing. The other opportunity that this gives me is to remind New Yorkers that this situation that we're in with COVID-19, which is what we're now calling the symptoms, is about a virus and it's not about people, right? It originated in China, but what we're seeing now and what I've been saying is viruses don't respect borders. So we're seeing increases in South Korea, we're seeing increases in Italy. It's now in 42 countries, and so that's why it's so important to pay attention to what we know works in terms of hand washing, covering your mouth and your nose when you cough or sneeze.
On hand washing, does it help to use Purell or those kinds of products, or are they only effective against bacteria while this is a virus?
So what will be most effective is to wash your hands with water for 20 seconds with soap, right? To get in between your fingers, to do it for a solid 20 seconds. If you're not close to a water source, then certainly any alcohol-based hand sanitizer will do the trick.
Lisa in Forest Hills, you're on WNYC with the New York City Health Commissioner, Dr. Barbeau. Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Brian and Dr. Barbeau. Thank you so much for taking my call. I know that there's so many things that people don't know, but my family's getting ready to plan trips. My daughter's getting ready to go to sleepaway summer camp. Like, how much should we be thinking that, you know, we might get flights canceled or we might be in quarantine?
Or whether it's even a good idea. And I will say that about half the calls on our board, Dr. Barbeau, are people with travel plans that include flying either out of the country, or a few people are even calling about flying domestically and should they change their plans.
So right now, and again, this situation is very fluid and it changes from day to day. Right now, there are travel restrictions to China, and I believe South Korea just came on board in terms of the CDC recommending that individuals avoid unnecessary travel. What I would recommend is visiting our website, nyc.gov/health, or visiting the CDC website, cdc.gov, to look specifically at potential travel restrictions for the countries that folks may be traveling to. You know, again, the caveat being that things are changing on a regular basis, and though there may not be travel warnings for a particular country, in 14 days, you know, those may change. The second thing is in terms of domestic travel. Again, in the United States, we have 15 individuals that have been diagnosed with coronavirus. There is, to my knowledge, no city that has person-to-person spread amongst the community. So at this point in time, there are no recommendations to limit domestic travel.
Just 15 people known to have coronavirus in all of the United States at this time. So President Trump, in his news conference yesterday, was so shocked by the flu statistics that I know you know well and talk about every year, 36,000 to 69,000 deaths from the flu each year in this country. And we accept that reality without turning society inside out. But in Japan, for example, with 200 cases of coronavirus, they're going to close all the public schools in the country for a month. So why would a public health response to the potential for widespread coronavirus be so different from actual widespread flu?
So thank you for that question, because it gives me an opportunity to remind New Yorkers that we are in flu season. It's not too late to get the vaccine. We want folks to be immunized. And to also remind New Yorkers that on an annual basis, we have anywhere from 1,000 to 2,000 New Yorkers that die here in our city because of the flu. And so it's something that we take seriously every year. It's something that we invest a lot of resources getting people to be vaccinated. And so get your flu shot. It's not too late. The other reason to get the flu shot is because the symptoms of coronavirus are very similar to the flu. You can have fever, cough, and feel generally sort of run down. And so the important distinction here is if you have traveled to a country that has ongoing transmission and you've returned within the last 14 days, we want you to call your doctor, let them know about your travel, and then we will work with your doctor to determine whether or not you should be tested for the coronavirus. The other thing that I want to just note is the numbers that we're hearing coming out of China are individuals who have sought medical attention and have actually been tested. What we are hearing from other scientific advisors is that there is a large portion of the population that are mildly affected. And so we don't have a way of knowing how the virus will behave when it gets to New York City, because it is inevitable that it will get here. And so that's why all of our posturing has been aggressive, because we don't want to take anything for granted. We want to make sure that we are protecting the health of New Yorkers.
So theoretically, if this isn't too hypothetical a question, if there were to be 200 cases in the Northeast, I realize Japan is a much smaller geographical area country than the U.S., let's say 200 cases in the Northeast, would you as the health commissioner recommend closing the public schools?
You know, closing public schools is a very drastic measure that has significant ramifications, and it's something that we would not take lightly. At this point in time, as a country, we are in sort of the first phase of dealing with a potential outbreak. And what we call that technically the containment phase, right? Which is we're doing everything possible to keep the virus out of our communities. Once that virus is introduced, then the likelihood of it being spread from person to person becomes a lot more likely. And then we transition to what we call mitigation, which is a fancy way of saying, you know, reducing the likelihood that people will have bad outcomes as a result of that. At this point in time, I don't anticipate that we will have school closures because, again, it's a pretty drastic measure. But we've got a lot of potential scenarios in our back pockets, but that's certainly not one that we would lead with.
Jeff in Suffolk County. You're on WNYC with the New York City Health Commissioner, Dr. Barbeau. Hi, Jeff.
Hello, Brian. Thank you for answering my call. My question is, I have read that the virus isn't affecting kids. Is this true? And also, what is the average age median of people infected?
Great question. So what we are seeing is that the vast majority of individuals who have died because of coronavirus, and there are over 2,000 people that have died, have been elderly and have had chronic underlying illnesses. What we're also hearing is that, yes, children can be affected by coronavirus or the COVID-19 illness, but that generally their symptoms tend to be mild.
And on the flip side of that, what we know about the virus, I believe, suggests that elderly people are the most vulnerable to serious illness or death from the virus, as with the flu and other such things. Are there special precautions being taken in the city at nursing homes or rehab facilities?
So yes, elderly are at greater risk, same as they are at greater risk for bad outcomes for the flu. In terms of preparations in nursing homes, you know, we have emphasized the importance of ensuring that we are blanketing nursing homes with influenza vaccination. We are ensuring that they are up to date and fully stocked in terms of all of the potential personal protective equipment that they might need. But beyond that, because we have no coronavirus in our city, we are focusing on ensuring that the basics are being done well and consistently.
Anne in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Dr. Barbeau. Hi, Anne.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, just fine.
Okay, so I take issue with the advice that Mayor de Blasio gave yesterday and that the Department of Health still has on its website. And I think that certain hospitals are not giving the same advice. It is not good advice to advise someone who suspects that they might have the coronavirus to go to their doctor's office. Why? I will tell you. Doctor's offices cannot get N95 respirators. Those face masks are on back order until something like May. You're in a room spewing germs. They are not set up with an infection isolation room. The personal protective equipment for their staff and for the other patients is just not available. And moreover, I mean, one of the things that I've seen that hospitals are doing is they're suggesting that you seek virtual care. If you have, mild symptoms like a cold, you stay home, make sure you stay home until you're no longer sick. If you have worsening cold symptoms, mm-hmm. including fever, muscle aches, and pains, that you speak with one of the emergency room doctors using virtual urgent care.
And so, Anne, forgive me, just for time's sake, is your concern here unnecessary contact with healthcare workers because they are the most at
other
risk?
Patients who are sitting in the waiting room at a doctor's office. I mean, this is like the doctors have no ability to test in their office. They don't have the ability to prevent to protect other patients.
And I gotcha. And we're going to put those questions to Dr. Barbeau right now. You hear her concern about being infectious by going to the doctor if you don't need to go in person.
I couldn't agree with her more. And what we are actually telling New Yorkers is to call their doctors, not to show up. And what we are advising our city's doctors, and we're training them on this, is to have procedures in place so that if someone actually needs to be seen in the office, the doctor meets that individual outside of the office, or someone, on his or her staff meets them outside, puts a mask on them, and then puts them in a room by themselves until they can be evaluated. Because certainly, in other infectious disease situations, I'll use measles as the most recent example. We did have situations where people came to doctor's offices and infected other folks. It's just the reality. And so I want to thank the caller for reminding us that don't just show up, call ahead, because the advice may be to then go to the emergency department or to go someplace else.
Anne, thank you so much. I believe you said in the news conference with the mayor yesterday that the city or local doctors are not prepared yet to test for the virus in New York City, people who think they may have it. Is that still the case?
So we have specific tests in the city where we can rule out the 26 most common viruses that account for symptoms that can be consistent with COVID-19. What we don't have is the specific test to then say definitively this individual has COVID-19. And so we are working very closely with the CDC to try and accelerate getting that test here into the city.
There is a patient in Northern California who is now reportedly the first case of so-called community spread in the United States. That is someone who came down with the virus not knowing where or how they got it. The news is reporting that as a potential cause for concern nationwide. What's the significance of that case of unknown origin, according to you?
Well, this is a situation that just sort of is developing from last night. And without knowing the specific details of this particular case, I'm not surprised, because from the very beginning we have said it's inevitable that we will have our first person with COVID-19, and that once that happens, it's also likely that over time we will be seeing person-to-person spread in the community. That's just the reality of how viruses spread. And that's why it's so critical for New Yorkers to lean into the advice that we've been giving them. I know that I sound, you know, like a broken record, but it really is the best way that we can keep our families, our communities safe. The other important thing is not to take for granted that, oh, I have a cold. If you've traveled or you've come in contact with someone who has traveled and you have these symptoms, call your doctor. Don't go to work. Don't send your kid to school until you've been evaluated.
Dr. Auxerice Barbeau, the New York City Health Commissioner, thank you so much. I know on a day like this, with this going on, you're torn in so many directions, and you came into our studio in person. We really appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We'll continue on the coronavirus in our next segment. Stay with us.